welcome to the Don't Be This Girl podcast. If you haven't yet purchased Yvette and my book, Don't Be This Girl, a book based on romantic comedy characters and the cringy behavior and flawed character choices they make all in the name of finding love, you can get yours today on Amazon. So get your ebook or paperback today by copying and pasting the link in the description below. Okay, who's ready for our latest episode? Let's go. Hello, everyone.
This is Cindy.
This is Yvette, and we're always cracking up. Oh my gosh, we're so ridiculous. I love it.
You should see what happens the seconds before we hit record. Then you would understand why we're always laughing.
too much.
But we are here on our podcast, Don't Be This Girl. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah, we're so excited because we feel like with this topic, there are so many girls we don't want to be.
Yeah.
Right?
I think I'm all of them.
No, you're not.
I was all of them. I was all of them.
Yeah.
So that's the key word here.
So. You always, you know, watch a new movie, read a new book, and it's like, oh my goodness, I don't want to be this girl either.
Right.
Right?
Why do people do that?
I don't know. We're just so conditioned.
Is it Hollywood? Is it?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's Hollywood. It's media. We're so conditioned because of what they put out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's true with music
as
well. Music has been something that I always thought, you could listen to it as long as you don't let that enter your life. And it enters your life. It's in there. I was like listening to some things recently and I was like, is that what that song says? I was grooving to this song in the 70s and I was like probably, 6 years old and Rod Stewart and all the things.
If you want my body and you think I'm sexy. Yeah, like, with all my heart.
6 year old.
If you want my body, it's your life. You're 10.
Mom, what were you thinking allowing me to listen to that music? Anyway, loved it all.
Same. No, I had that same conversation about Ring My Bell.
Yeah.
Because my mom bought me that 45, and I think I was in third grade. And I was like, Mom,
third grade?
Yeah. You can ring my bell. I was like, what did I know about bell ringing?
Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
And maybe we could do it.
Music. It's the music. It's
maybe
the movies.
We can do it. Take the time. Yeah, do it right. We can. Yeah. And here I was a little girl singing that with all my heart, having not a clue what I was singing.
Right.
But allowing it to get into my heart.
Right.
That we could do it all night.
No.
I didn't know what we could.
Earmuffs.
I didn't know what we were doing all night, but whatever it was, we could do it.
We're having a slumber party. S'mores. So sweet.
So silly. Anyway, so yes, the seeping in media, music, Hollywood, movies, media, music, movies.
Yeah.
Plays into so many things.
Right.
That we allow these things even to shape us.
Yes.
Right?
And that's
condition
how we
us.
Become this girl.
Mm-hmm.
We become this girl from all of that, not even really knowing.
That's true.
I think it's not something that we seek out.
No, absolutely not.
It's just something that is in our surroundings and we're listening to and or our friends are introducing us to.
Yep.
And I think we talked about that before too, like, who you have around you is so important. So,
Yeah, so good. So I think today we will be talking about the girl who feels like she has to be the stalker girlfriend or the stalker chick.
Yeah.
You see it in movies, we hear songs about it, but it's like, and even some of the songs that men sing, like Sting's, Every Breath You Take, that's a stalker-ish song. Every Breath You Take.
Yeah, so I was just like, he's so sweet.
No.
He loves every breath I'm taking.
Every vow you break, I'll be watching you. Like, that's freaky. Now, he's the only artist that I go see every time he's in California.
Yeah.
And I've been a stalker fan.
Sting, look out.
Because I've been to Boston to see him. I've been to Vegas to see him. But that song always makes me laugh. I think it's a little bit creepy. But there are women, there are girls, there are you know, that we can say we have been stalker. And I don't know about you. Now, I'm not that person now.
Right.
But in my late teens, early 20s, oh my goodness, yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, or even just the conditions. Like sometimes you might see a movie and this girl's like, I thought she goes up to a guy. She's like, you said you were going to call me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, girl, don't
like,
do that.
Why are you so desperate?
Yeah, don't do that.
For his attention.
Right.
Which takes us back to what is it, a book? I think it's a book and a movie, right? He's not that into you.
Oh, he's just not that into you. That's right.
And it's like, girl, let him make the first move.
Girl, come on. Yeah.
Let him make the first move.
Yeah.
And I say this out of experience, of course, being that girl that wanted the attention. And I wanted it when I wanted it.
Yeah.
You know? And this was me thinking that I was becoming a stronger woman at this point.
Oh.
And it was like,
not realizing you're being a nag.
Well, yeah, I was just being needy.
Clingy, that's the word. Yeah, clingy, needy. Like, you said you were going to call me.
Right.
How come you didn't call me?
Where were you? I thought you were going to, be calling me after work, and I was waiting for you. And
oh, don't tell him that you're waiting for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what we do. And I can tell you times, even maybe if I met a guy, this was in my 20s, I would be the one, we swipe numbers, and then I'm like, by the phone, do I have a missed call from him? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and what
absolutely.
Did he call me at work? Did he call me at home? You know, just chill. Don't be the girl that's so needy and so clingy. Don't be the girl waiting by your phone the minute you swap a number.
Or the girl driving by.
Oh!
The house. Driving by the workplace. Yeah. I mean, if this is you, don't raise your hand right now. We don't want to know that this is you.
But has it been you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I can say for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can tell you times.
It was a sad time in life, and I think that once I got out of that, I realized that. I realized that I was needing something else.
Mm.
So it wasn't necessarily about that guy or that person.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something else that I needed personally in my heart to fill that gap.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's where I needed to get it. And I wanted it.
Yeah.
Like I said, when I wanted it, I wanted somebody's attention right then and there. And if they didn't give it to me, then I'd be like, hello.
Which, you know, really when you think about it, when we're the girls picking up the phone, calling, stopping by the house unannounced, uninvited, and you're knocking at the door, and you're right there saying, you know, why didn't you call me? You said you were going to call me. I've been waiting. You're not helping. If anything, that's just pushing more and making him say, ooh,
yeah,
I don't want this. Because I remember being the girl that sometimes it was the flip side of that. I do remember guys coming to my house unannounced, uninvited. I was thinking about you and I was missing you. And as precious as these guys were in their hearts, it was, for me, it was a turnoff.
Right. Didn't you have that scenario where you were with a bestie?
Mm-hmm.
And then your boyfriend showed up and you're like, no, honey, this is not your time.
Yeah.
I want to spend time with my
friend. Yep. It was that way.
It's boundaries.
It's boundaries.
It's boundaries. And I think that we as women need to start setting up some serious boundaries.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Ahead of time.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, don't wait until you're already in the relationship. You need to know what your boundaries are for your personal space.
Mm-hmm.
And then how that's going to look with somebody coming into your world, with a guy coming into your world, dating, whatever that's going to be, it's like, what are those boundaries?
Mm-hmm.
And that takes me into just like even, you know, getting married. When you're getting married, as a single woman, we do all the things that we want to do when we want to do them. We schedule our life the way we want to schedule it. And when somebody comes in, no matter how much you love this person, you're like, hold up.
Wait a minute.
Oh, don't talk about the neckline.
I don't even know the neckline, actually. So
putting something. Never mind.
Okay.
Anyway. But it's like that part of your independence, you need to know what your boundaries are going to be and already have them set so that this person isn't kind of blindsided and then thinks, does she even like me? Does she even want me there?
Yeah.
You know?
And it's true. That's so good. Even as you're asking that question, I'm thinking of a time of a guy I was dating. And I think I mentioned this in our book. By the way, if you haven't purchased our book, it's on Amazon. Don't Be This Girl. It's right back there. It's even on an ebook, right? For those of you that have a Kindle reader. But I remember dating a guy in college and I really did like him. I wasn't like head over heels for him, but I liked him. And I think, you know, my love language is time and gifts. Hmm. It's not touch, so just don't be touching. And it's not even the verbal affirmation. Ask my sisters, especially the one, the baby, she loves to hug me. And I'm like, are you done? Just tell me when you're done. But he said to me at some point, we were having like a discussion about a relationship. Now, this is a relationship that I started. I pursued. I found him to be very attractive. And so I was like, I need to get everybody's number so I can throw a party and invite him to it. Because I want, so I kind of initiated all of that, you know. Not kind of, I guess I did. I did initiate all of that. So we ended up starting to date and things like this. And so in a conversation we had, he said, do you even like me? Because I never called him. I never, it's like, you know, and I said, I just bought you balloons, didn't I? You know, because he did really well on a test. Of course, I like you. I just bought you balloons. And now, saying it now, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
To say that, you know, it's like.
Because, and here's a question. Like, what about the balloons showed him how much you cared about him?
Right.
But to me, that would be sweet. I would think, oh, you know, he must like, or, you know, whatever. He must like me or something.
He bought me balloons.
He sent me flowers or a gift of some sort.
Like, yep.
I'm assuming that that person likes me, but he obviously needed more from you.
Yes.
So, girl, the balloons were not going to cut it.
And they didn't. They didn't cut it.
The note.
But it's so true. And so, but at that point, you know, as a woman, sometimes you can feel, well, that's a little needy.
Yeah.
So if we feel like that, how much more a guy who's supposed to be the one who's pursuing us?
So true.
And again, we talk about it in our book, men have no problem. They know how to get what they want.
Yeah.
So if they're not pursuing you, if they say they're going to call you and they don't call, there's either a very good reason or something better came up. Let's just be real.
Ooh, ouch.
Right?
But so true.
Yeah. And it could even just be something like Xbox. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Which shows you where
it
you
absolutely
fall.
Absolutely does not have to have legs. It could be any inanimate object.
That's right.
That breaks their attention. But yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we shouldn't just be sitting there waiting.
No, please
girls,
don't
we need
do
to have
that.
Something better to
Come
do in
on.
Our lives.
Isn't there a book you
can
write?
There's a book you could read.
An
there's
audition you should
write.
Be rehearsing for. A competition you should be practicing for.
Hair
a sport
to get done. Like, you know, nails to get. There's plenty of stuff for us to do where we don't have to be waiting by the phone. Or,
oh, goodness.
In this day and age with our cell phones.
Yeah.
Every 5 seconds. Did they call me? Did they call me? Did they leave a text?
Yes. And then the stalking, because the stalking isn't only in front of their home or to drive by their workplace.
Ooh, social.
You can stalk on the socials as well. And how many have stalked on the socials?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I started to watch this movie and I didn't really, you know, my husband and I, we just kind of, you know, go on Netflix and, oh, it looks good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we started to watch this thing called You. And we never finished it. Mm. It was just kind of slow.
Mm.
But it was about this guy that was, he met this girl. They had a great conversation, I think, in a bookstore or something like that. And I think he got her name from the credit card or something.
Oh boy.
Looked her up on social. He knew where she went to school, who her friends were, who her family was, where she lived. And he started showing up in the neighborhood.
Oh, no.
And looking and watching her through her windows because she left her windows open. It was a very scary reality of what could happen on social media and with social media today. And we just, again, we never finished watching it. And I think, I'll have to look it up, but I think that it has to do with a real life story. It was based on a true story of some of that, where somebody actually got hurt or murdered or something.
And that happens.
Yes.
That does happen.
Yeah.
And even in relationships, that can go very, and that's why I'm just such a big proponent now of, if it's not the right one, don't go there. Are there red flags? Look at the red flags.
Yeah, don't ignore it.
Yeah, don't ignore them and don't excuse them, don't forgive them. If you see one red flag, and by red flag, I think we're talking about the things that are dangerous. The abuse, yelling, maybe getting up in your face and cussing you out. Like if you're experiencing this, it's time to say goodbye now.
Right. The grabbing.
The
grabbing. It's like, oh, wait, hold up. Again, boundaries. Don't touch me. Don't, even when you're in a relationship that you've been in for a while.
Yes, it doesn't matter how long.
It's never okay.
And it's not good, unless this person gets help, it's not going to get better.
Right, you're not gonna fix it.
No.
I mean, I just wanna say that to everybody.
And you're putting up with it is not gonna fix it. You're staying in that dangerous situation is not gonna fix it. He needs help outside of you.
Listen, I was in a relationship that, I'm almost embarrassed to talk about it, but I was in a relationship where I thought this guy, he was a good Christian and, he was in ministry and all the things. And, I started dating him, even though at first I was like, no, not going to go there. Kind of thought he might be a little prideful or something, I wasn't sure. So I was very standoffish at first. And then I jumped in, and before I knew it, he was everything that I didn't want.
Ooh.
And there were so many things that he needed help with. And I stayed, and I even told our pastors, I'm so proud of him, he's doing this and that, blah, blah, blah. Girl, he was in jail. And I was trying to tell my pastors, oh, yeah, he's bringing people to the Lord and blah, blah, blah.
In jail. Oh.
And this is this facade that we, create in our minds of, I can fix this. If I love him enough, if I give him the attention that maybe he didn't get as a child.
Yeah, no.
Let me tell you, it was exhausting. It was embarrassing. I could never. It took years for me.
Wow.
To get just that time that I spent with him out of my life.
Wow.
Out of my son's life.
Sure.
This was later on. And my even Kyle. Kyle had to deal with it too. And, the remnants of that.
Yes.
And it was so scary. But there was never a time where I could have fixed that. And he did not get the help that he needed, and he actually hurt somebody physically after that.
Wow.
And I was so thankful that it wasn't me. But it was that thing where I just felt like, I could fix him. I can change the hurt in his heart.
Yep.
And I couldn't.
No.
That's not a place. It's not a place for us.
No. So boundaries is what you said. And you can't fix him.
No.
You won't fix him.
Mm-mm.
No, you're not the exception to the rule, because so many times we'll say, well, I know in all these other 20 scenarios, but I will be the one. No, you are not the one that's going to fix him. You will not fix him. You can't fix him. Like, if we could say it over and over and over again.
You can't.
You can't. You will not. Like, please get that into your head. Look at yourself in the mirror. This is you. And say, I'm not the one to fix him. I cannot fix him. I will not fix him. I will not be able to fix him. I don't have the ability to fix him.
Right.
Right.
And worse, you're going to get hurt in that process of thinking that you can fix somebody else. You're going to be the one who needs fixing afterwards.
Yeah, and even if it's not a dangerous, it can still be where there's remnant, like what we talked about. There's still the remaining residue. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
There's residue from that relationship. And then you talked about the time, the this, the that. See, all of these things that it steals from you.
Yes.
It steals your confidence. It steals your joy. It robs your time. It robs your money.
Yeah.
Right? It distracts whatever it is that you are going to do. It came in and impeded that. And now you're looking over here, what took you off your path.
100%. My life went into a complete spiral the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's not something you can take back.
Yeah.
You cannot get that time back.
Mm-hmm.
So notice the red flags, like Cindy was saying. See those red flags and just hold yourself back.
Mm-hmm.
Know that, you know what, you are worth so much more.
Yes, you are.
Than having to settle for someone that you could see something's a little off with them.
Yeah.
Something doesn't align with my beliefs and their beliefs. Mm-hmm. So.
And listen. Right?
Yeah.
To that. Sometimes you will know. It's
that
like
feeling.
I know my pastor calls it the knower, which really to me the knower is the Holy Spirit. But listen to that knower. You know, even if you don't have a relationship, like we both are believed, so we both have a relationship with Jesus. But if you don't, you still know there's that oh, something just told me I should not have done that. Go with that something that's saying don't go there and don't do that.
That's right.
Instead of finding out and learning the hard way.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because we never want to see it go the full extent that it could go.
Yeah.
Which we see and we hear about in the news all the time.
Oh my gosh. I feel like now more than ever.
All the time. And for, you know, single women that are out there that have babies, you know, that's the hard part of it is sometimes we're so desperate for a male figure for our child.
Mm-hmm. You talked about that in the Jerry Maguire.
Yes, I did. I covered that about, you know, Renee Zellweger and her character in that movie. She was so desperate to have, super needy.
She was so needy.
Like, let me listen to your conversation on the plane while you're in first class and I'm back here with the peasant.
And she's like, you know, leaning in and almost falling
and
out of her
seat. She even tells her sweet little son, like, what's wrong, mommy? Oh, what did she say? Something about, like, people in first class and people in this class. That's what's wrong with the world, you know. Okay, girl. What's wrong?
Exactly.
And you're over here listening to his relationship issues or whatever it was. Ugh. And just being that desperate. You don't want to be that desperate. Mm-hmm. So we always advocate for knowing yourself and getting to know what you want in life and being independent. There's nothing wrong with being single.
Sure.
There's nothing wrong with being a strong woman who is single and feels happy about her life.
Yeah.
Because you know what? One thing I remember hearing is, you know what? When you're single, you can do so much more with your life in certain aspects, you know, of your life and certain things that you're doing, ministry being one of them. But when you're married, it kind of changes a little bit because your priority should be your husband and your family, and, you know, and it does. It really does change.
Mm-hmm. So, and then if you're creative like me that wants to do everything and film everything and go everywhere, you just have to take all of that into perspective.
Yeah.
You know, because I think then sometimes those things maybe you can't do as frequently.
Right.
Or you can if you have a great guy like your hubby, great guy, but you still have to work things through him. And
right, because he wants to do things. And you know, more than likely, it's not writing a book. Like,
Kyle, no book writing.
Oh, our sweet Kyle. He used to affix us the most yummiest salmon when we were writing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was always taking care of everything. But, you know, he has his interests as well.
Sure.
And we have to be there for that. So,
that's
good.
Yeah, no, it's good. So we talked about the boundaries and, like, don't avoid and don't ignore. Like, please don't ignore the red flags. Like, really, please, like, if you see them, then heed them. And then I think if you know that you're a person who's, like, kind of weaker and you go, oh, but I just give in to his kisses or I just, and you know that about you, then I would say, like, have someone that you're accountable to.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Someone stronger than you.
Yes.
someone who has a good relationship,
yes,
or has a good sense of themselves, mm-hmm, enough to tell you as a girlfriend,
yep,
stop it.
Yes.
You need to reel yourself back. You need to have somebody who's not afraid to tell you that.
Yeah.
And so that accountability partner is power.
Yes, and someone that you respect too.
Yeah.
That you'll really heed and listen instead of someone who's like, oh, I don't care what they say.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's so important. But on the whole idea of stalking and men, you know, as you were talking earlier, I was thinking, I remember being on dating online. This was had to have been somewhere around 2006. So this was years ago. And I was the kind of person that I would do the online, but I wouldn't really invest in the membership. It's like,
right. I
just want to see. And yes. And so there was a guy that I was like, oh, he's really cute. So he was sending me messages, but I couldn't reply because I wasn't paying.
Oh, that's right. You're not, yeah.
I wasn't paying for that. Right.
Some of you
I was not that. Harmonizing on eHarmony.
Some of you will get that on the way home.
And so, but this guy was so smart. What he decided to do is I wonder if her email address is the same as her
name.
As her handle.
Uh-huh.
And it was.
Oh, no.
So he emailed me and said, this is so-and-so, so-and-so from such-and-such. And I was like, I was so impressed with him.
Yeah, you're like, oh, he's a smart cookie.
I'm like, he knew how to reach me, how to find me, and we started dating. You know, so that just tells me he was not a stalker. Actually, he was a really good guy, but I just think, you know, again, men know how to get what they want.
That's right.
So it's like he did the work. Like, okay, I want to get to meet this girl. And so I wonder. And so he tracked me down. But, you know, it could be the kind of thing where it is a detrimental thing, you know.
Yeah.
And if you're that kind of a girl and you have those tendencies, you might need to get help.
Because we all need help. Listen, it's not just the guys. But yeah. Now you don't want to be... You don't want to be that girl,
yeah,
that is doing that.
Like, no.
The guy clearly knew what he wanted.
Yes.
And they're going to go after that.
Yeah.
We don't need to push. Mm-hmm. We don't need to help them along.
Nope.
You know, send them romantic little thoughts and whatever songs,
yeah,
and things like that to remind them of us,
yeah,
or how much they should love us. If they love us, they love us. They,
yes,
want to be there. If they don't, they're going to be hanging out with the Xbox, mm-hmm, or, you know, anything else.
Yes.
So, yeah, we don't want to be the stalker girl. We don't want to come off desperate.
Yes.
That's when we get hurt.
And we don't want you to be the stalker girl either. You know, obviously there are some movies that come to mind that were like horrible, like the one with Glenn Close and Michael Douglas.
Oh, Fatal Attraction.
Like, please don't be a stalker girl, you know, because that movie did not end well.
I mean, that's probably, love you, Glenn Close. Sorry. The best she had looked in a lot of movies. And I mean, she was... successful, sexy woman.
Yeah.
But she had to have him.
And he was married.
So
that's
boundaries.
Yes, that's a whole other topic. We will be talking about don't be this girl. We are not pro adultery.
No.
Like, if you are single or married and you're watching this and you come in contact with a man who is married, hands off. He's not yours.
Walk away.
Yeah. He's not yours. It's not a, like, oh, I have to have him. No. Just no. It's detrimental to the family, to the kids, to the everybody involved. So mm-hmm. We're just asking you to not be that girl either. And we talk a little bit about it in the book, do we?
I don't know. I think
going after someone else's man.
Yeah, well, we were talking about that also in the Julia Roberts movie.
Yes,
Runaway
My Best
Bride.
Friend's Wedding.
No, Runaway. Is it Runaway Bride?
No, My Best Friend's Wedding.
oh, okay, well, girlfriend, Julia Roberts. No, because there's my best friend's wedding when she's going after her best friend who just...
Who's getting married, right, to Kimmy.
Yes, Cameron
Diaz. Sweet, precious Kimmy.
And then she does it in Runaway Bride when she's chest bumping her her best friend's husband because they used to be best friends and they used to date.
Right. Well, she wasn't after him, but she was flirting.
But yeah, it was a little
much. But don't be that girl
either. Don't be chest bumping your girlfriend's man. Okay, like, there are things here that they don't need to be feeling.
That's right.
If they're not
your husband. That's right. Yeah. If you're not his, he's not yours, and these aren't his.
I'm not going to try to repeat that. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So good.
There's a lot of that. And, you know, poor, you know, Glenn Close in that Fatal Attraction, she lost it.
She did.
She completely lost it. And where did she go?
Yeah, yeah.
She's dead in the bathtub.
Yep. Yeah.
Not a good thing.
Yeah.
But you know, it does start with those red flags.
And again, I know that's a deep, dark, I suppose, like, that's a
dark
example.
Just, yeah, going down.
But it made me think of that movie because it was just started off so this way, but it turned so dark and it ended deadly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, really, this is such a good conversation because I think sometimes it could be that maybe women don't even think, they're not even thinking that dark or desperate. They're just like, oh, I just want to see what he's doing right now. Let me just drive by his job. Let me just drive by his house and see. And then I feel like, you know, there's adrenaline. I remember driving by something probably when I was somewhere between 19 and 20, 21. I'm almost sure of it. You know, I nothing comes to mind, but I feel like I remember. I'm going to have to think hard about that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that my heart was palpitating. So that's why I'm like, I'm sure that I did. I just have to remember who I was stalking. Don't be me. Don't be me at 19.
Were there multiple? I think there were multiple.
I just remember my heart beating, and but I don't remember who was talking. But that's awful.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's intrusive. It's intrusive on someone else's time and property,
their privacy.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, it's not welcomed. It's not wanted. It wasn't, you were not invited. And I know originally it started off as, you know, you said you were going to call me. But even that, you know.
Yeah. It's just desperate.
Yeah.
It's,
don't do it.
We just want to empower, mm-hmm. you know, a powerful woman, mm-hmm. Somebody who is confident in themselves.
Yeah.
And this could be hard for, you know, a lot of young women.
Sure.
Who, you know, have maybe been verbally abused already, even by family, which, you know, it just kind of came up. It's like, okay, there's a lot of childhood hurt.
Yes.
That may cause you to be that girl.
That's good, Yvette.
You
so
know?
Good.
And it's like, we have to repair that. We have to fix that. Or, you know.
Do the
make
work.
Make sure, yeah, that somehow we're getting over those hurts. Because growing into an adult with those hurts, it's tough.
It's tough.
It's tough. And you're going to stumble and you're going to hit a lot of dead ends.
And hurt a lot and hurt people along the way.
And hurt people.
Including yourself.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if it's not the extent of what we're talking about, some of those like drastic movies, but you still, it's years of destruction, years of repair. Okay, I need to fix this. Now I need to fix myself now because all this damage has been done. Mm-hmm. And so now I have to work at undoing the damage. And also let me now focus on what was it in me that was causing the damage to begin with.
Right.
And to start with. So I love that.
Yeah.
So working at it. And if you are that girl, if you tend to be stalkery, if you tend to break boundaries, we're saying please put boundaries, don't be the stalker girl, don't go after married men, let him pursue you, but also do the work and have someone that you can be accountable to. And if you don't know where to do the work, even in our book we have great places to start.
Yeah, some great resources.
We've got coaches that have said, hey, we'll partner with your readers. We've got books there that are going to help like pull you out of any situation that you're in. So I think this is so good, and especially for the single mamas.
Yeah.
Like, let's protect your kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That should be first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as a single mom, in the early years, that was something that I just you know, I thought I was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
By jumping into relationships with just a guy. I mean, you know, I just wanted a male figure for them. But you can be everything that they need you to be.
Yes.
You know, and hopefully a lot of you, if in that situation, have a father or an uncle or somebody that, you know, you don't have to be in a relationship with, but they can still give that child that, you know, that male aspect of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was thankful for a lot of guys in my life that I had for that, you know.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
So good. Well, of course, you know, we love just coming up with these conversations. There are so many hot topics, and we just kind of sift through and go, okay, what do we feel like is so relevant right now? But there are literally hundreds of topics to talk about. And it's not just for the single woman. I mean, again, for example, Glenn Close, she was married. She was single, but...
But Michael Douglas was married.
Michael Douglas was married. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you find yourself in that situation, we're just saying, just cut it off and let them go their way. And then you just focus on yourself and on your family to do what you need to do. But, you know, get our book. We're getting such wonderful feedback that the book is just so helpful. It's so eye-opening.
Yeah.
And someone said, you know, I just have to sit and marinate in the book. It's a fun read. It's a good read. They appreciate the vulnerability.
Yeah.
But they're also just saying it's really causing me to go chapter after chapter, bite size, because of all the work you're having us do.
Yeah.
And the reflection.
Right. There's a lot of nuggets in there.
So good.
That we think would help you get through some of those things.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it helped us get through some of those things, and that's exactly why we wrote it.
Yes.
So that we could put that out there and as a resource to women, you know.
Yep, to strengthen you so that you don't be this girl, and then you get to have the beautiful life, really, that you are worthy and you are deserving of. I know you mentioned that. I know we're wrapping up, but I do want to say this. If you're that woman or that girl that struggles, then get help. Get coaching so that you can do the work as well, because really, you are worth it.
Yeah.
You are so valuable. You're so worth everything. You know, people will say, oh, well, I didn't think that I was worth this, so I just settled for that. No, you are worth the very best. And if we all kept ourselves for the very best, can you imagine what beautiful lives we would all live as women?
That person is going to see that in you as well. And they're going to be going, wow, she's so worth my time. She's so worth my attention. I'm going to give her the very, very best of me instead of, this girl is desperate. I can just give her a little bit and then throw her to the wayside. We don't want to be that. We don't want to get hurt like that. Why do we intentionally want to hurt? We don't want to hurt our own heart.
That's right.
So, so be confident. You know, stand up. You know, walk with, you know, your head up. Don't be walking down like just, you know.
Yeah.
You just have to be empowered and know who you are and what you want in life. And those things will find you.
They will find you. Yes, the good things will follow you when you're good to yourself. So guys, thank you so much for hanging out and letting us talk about not being the girl who's a stalker. There's so many reasons why, and we could keep going, but we're already running into 40 minutes. So.
Yes, this was a long one, so thanks for hanging out with us.
So thanks for staying tuned with us this whole time. Again, you can get our book on Amazon. It's Don't Be This Girl. Start a book club. Share it with your friends, and then of course email us, because we do want to hear how it's impacting your life. It's not just for the single girl, but it's for every girl. Don't be this girl. And so we love you, we believe in you, we hope that what we shared today really does empower you, and we'll see y'all next time.
Bye guys.
Bye guys.